Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Today's episode is from the Govro event keynote, where Gary gives tons of insight for entrepreneurs on how to navigate the world in the post-COVID era. Enjoy.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Great to be here. I was saying thank you so much for the kind intro, and I'm so excited to jam, and I hope everybody who's watching on the other side is healthy and happy, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Gary, we've had questions coming through today, and listen, you've inspired me. I know you've inspired and touched the lives of so many entrepreneurs. So grateful to have you. I have a question I'd love to kick off to you before I start getting into the group.
Yeah.
So let me hit you with this. So we've been dealing, obviously, with the global pandemic. Obviously, there's been stress and anxiety and business transition, so many different things. Some have been positive and some have been negative. But our team's been working closely with our clients to talk about cash resources and how to maximize the cash that they have available to them. I actually heard you speak about this at the Jobber event a couple of weeks ago, which was super cool. I would love to hear your thoughts on why individuals and businesses should maximize their cash resources right now.
Well, I think, you know, I'd love to get the context of how you're thinking about cash resources, right? Because I think there's so many different ways to play. Like, for example, I'm going to say something right now that I almost want nobody to follow. And I mean this, I, for example, besides putting a little nest egg away in cash for like the most rainy days, I like the game of entrepreneurship and business so much and feel confident in it that most of the things I do are either A, heavily investing in my own businesses, more employees, more resources, more offices, or extremely high risk investing, NFTs, you know, sports cards, you know. So one of the reasons that I actually don't talk a lot about financial advice, even though knock on wood I've done well, is I think my particular game is very unique to me, right? You know how people are really good at, let's use your background. You know, I have a feeling hiking big mountains is a good workout. But the reason that a lot of people don't come out and say that's the thing you should do is most people will die climbing that mountain. So I'd love to get clarification because I want to give good advice to the masses. The way I do things is safety net, you know, little actual cash sitting in a bucket. And then offense, because I'll tell you why. And this makes me very unique. I've come to learn in my older age. I'm not scared to go backwards. I'm not scared to be forced to sell my home and rent. I'm not scared to fly commercial instead of first class. I'm not scared to go through an 18-month period where people ridicule me for, you know, your friends saying to you, oh, you love that Gary Vee guy? What about the fact that he just lost all? Like, I'm such in a cocoon that there's a level of lack of fear that allows for higher risk. Now, I want to make sure everybody hears this. I am the furthest thing from loose, ridiculous, high crazy risk. I look risky. When I put all my money into Facebook and Twitter, all my financial advisors lost their mind. I knew, right?
Yeah.
As I navigate through the NFT space, 98% of NFT projects are going to go to zero. But I put almost all my money into Punks. And yesterday, Christie's announced that they're doing a Punks auction. And like, I know what I'm doing. So before, you know, forget about you, forget about me. Everybody on the other side here, you first know yourself. This is a game of self-awareness. And then you filter good advice. I caught the tail end of your last thing. I was like, ooh, I got to give this guy some credit. That raise your price advice is such a good one because it always works out. Because the downside is people say no and nothing bad happened. And the upside is 86% of the people that are going to do it that just heard you, all of them are going to get some level of increase. It's one of these amazing games of perception. So I know I've gone long-winded because I love to give some context, but clear it up for me so I can definitely answer your question. But the way I think about things is actually opposite sides. Very, very safe. I'm stunned by how many people go fully into debt, have no cash reserves. If everything goes to shit, don't have some money to at least rent an apartment and live life. And on the flip side, I go with my strengths. I understand NFTs better than I understand real estate. Think about that for a minute. I understand how to invest in NFTs right this minute better than I know how to invest in real estate. That probably puts me in a group of like 13 people on earth, because even the other people that know how to do NFTs probably know real estate enough. Like, so you've got to know yourself, but go ahead, my friend.
Totally. So when we're talking about this, we're talking about business owners and we're talking about that safety net, like you just said, because from my perspective, and I'd love your take on this, that over the next 12 months, there's going to be so much change. There's going to be retirement people closing their doors. If you have the safety net and you have the cash resources, you can go all in on you as an entrepreneur and really take over some market share, right? So that's what I'm thinking about.
Unless, let me tell you why you're right about that, but let me tell you why my answer was a little different, and I think we're going to combine the two.
Yep.
You're right. I do think that incredible fortunes are about to be built because a lot of weird stuff's about to happen. I also know that here we are given some advice and people look at us and then go and do something that feels uncomfortable because they're like, well, this is my time. I've been playing it safe and look at these two, right? And then I know a geopolitical climate thing happens. China invades India. America decides to declare war. There's a terrorist attack at the highest levels in America, first one in 20 years. There's a cyber attack on Amazon Cloud and there's these such big events that are out of your and I's purview that if the timing is wrong and people overextend themselves in a way that they can't go to zero, which is financial and emotional, then they're dead. And then we gave bad advice. So notice what I did. If you listen to my answer, have a little cash in case everything goes to zero so you can rent and buy clothes and eat food.
Totally.
The bigger one, right? Yeah. The bigger one is, can you deal with the ridicule if you lose? My biggest problem with what I know in my soul is that 97% of the people on this call right now, this video, this conference, wouldn't do well if their sister made fun of them saying, you thought you were a big shot, see, you're just like me, or their mom, or their girlfriend, or their boyfriend, or... And that's the game. Yeah. That's where my content has evolved because I didn't understand why this was all easy for me. It was that part. It's not that I'm smarter or better. It's that I have an incredible relationship with outside validation, AKA I have no need.
Totally. Yeah, no, and I can completely appreciate that. And for my advice with any of our entrepreneurs that we work with, it's always to keep that safety net and always to make sure that we have that. So don't overextend yourself by any stretch, but knowing that so many things are going to change, if you can find the right areas to invest right now, you're probably going to have a really big impact and make a lot of change.
There's going to be an incredible, and I mean incredible amount of opportunity, because in a year, the whole world's going to be different because we're going to be coming back and all the rules changed. No more stimulus checks. People have learned how to do business on Zoom. College doesn't look like the same value prop. Relationships have changed. Nuances have changed. Buying behaviors have changed. How people find out about things have changed. Things have changed.
Yeah, things have definitely changed. And will continue to change, right?
Yes, but this was big, brother, right? Yeah. The things that I've been living through for the last 20 years have been gradual. Gradual. Do you know how many people that are 55 to 65 that were super tech illiterate and didn't want to, were forced to learn and now love it? That's a consumer behavior shift.
Totally. And they had no other choice if they wanted to communicate with people or have interaction, right? I know that worked for us. It extended our boundaries. We could serve everywhere.
Correct. Think about, you know, the way I travel now. I'm not going to go to the same, meetings, which means I'm not going to be in Colorado, which is going to have a negative impact on the hotel business. Now I'll still travel a bunch, but it's going to be a mix. And that's a big change.
Totally. So I want to move on to more questions because I want to get as many answers as we can out of you, Gary, while we have the time. You've said that not every day is easy in being in business. I'm sure we can all relate to that, especially in 2020. But I would love to hear what it is that you do to cope and get through those tough days when you do have them.
Gratitude, perspective, not caring about money over the health of the people you love. Old school shit, grandparents shit, I'm just too grateful for what I have to be sad about what I don't have or what I just lost in the short term in business. My relationship with business is extraordinary. I don't think most people are going to believe what I'm about to say, but when I die, I hope that they can take your DNA and tell the truth of someone. I dream about modern technologies. I desperately don't care about the money.
Yeah.
It's very easy to deal with bad stuff when you, because this is what I play, my friend. I play the, what if this thing didn't go bad? Actually, my business doubled, but on the way to go sign the paperwork that doubled my business, or the client called me and said, we've given you all the business, that the next phone call was, my mother had a heart attack. And I'm going extreme, but I'm just telling you the truth of how I deal with it. You ask the question, I'm giving you the real answer.
Absolutely.
It's perspective. Like, I can't care enough about it if the people I love are healthy today. I mean it. My kryptonite is the health and well-being of my family.
Totally. And I think we're all in that position.
I think people don't mean it. I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone says it, but I watch my whole life. I'm 45 now. I've been in the game a long time. Like, cause I did it right from the beginning as a kid. People don't act like that.
Yeah.
They say it, but do they really mean it? Because if they meant it, they wouldn't overreact and get so emotional and hit the bottle drinking. Or too many people's affirmation is around how much money they make.
Totally.
How I deal with
it. There's more, right? There's definitely more to life than this. Now listen.
And I love it. Listen, don't get it wrong. I'm not foofy gene, like out of a genie out of a bottle here. I'm not foofy. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm trying to kill everybody. I'm trying to win the game. I'm trying to do it. I love it. I love the game, but it's a game.
Totally.
And so like, I'm that kind of person that plays basketball to kill, but I know it's just a game. And when it's over, how's your family, this and that. And that's how I treat business.
So speaking of games, so I woke up last night, or I guess this morning at 3:30, excited, but it was to figure out what question I wanted to ask you today. I've got a bunch, and I know there's a bunch from the crowd. My question was, we just went through identifying goals, how to make them smart, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. And I woke up thinking, Gary Vee has got a goal that is to buy the New York Jets. I've got to know, is that following that sort of principle? Is it attainable? Is it timely? When is that time going to happen for you, Gary? I can't wait to pop the champagne for you.
One of the great misnomers about me is that my goal is to try to buy the New York Jets more than it is to buy the Jets. And let me explain what I mean by that. So what's going on with that? I think I'm going to do it, brother. I think I'm going to pull it off.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
You know? Now, listen, even if I amass that extreme wealth, which is a very difficult task, there's the serendipity of them selling it at the time that I'm liquid enough to do. So the math is actually incredibly against me, but I believe it. But my happiness comes from the striving to do it, the process, the strategic chess moves to get there, much, much more than actually. I would actually argue that the day I buy the New York Jets is the day that I'm most unhappy. Because the thrill of the hunt, it's kind of like vacations.
Totally.
I love vacationing. I love sleeping and vacationing. I think people think of me as this, you know, I need balance like everybody else. I just love my thing so much that it makes it seem like I'm always, you know. But man, do I love a good vacation. And when the week up to the vacation, brother, I'm losing my mind. I'm so into it. I'm so excited. Anticipation. The second the plane lands, I start to get a little depressed because I know I'm on the other side of the anticipation.
But that's the entrepreneurial vision of attaining a goal. As soon as you pass it, you go, well, now what the hell am I going to do, right? It's deflating. So ultimately, you know, buying the Jets is going to be something you're going to track for a long time. And then once you do it, maybe it'll be buying another, maybe a basketball franchise, Gary.
I think for me, then it's going to be, because I'm going to be an older man because I'm playing it long. So I'll probably, not older, actually. What am I, 45? I'd love to think I can get it by 65. I hope the next 20 years are compounding. Then I'm going to focus on winning a Super Bowl, brother, because that's why I'm going to buy them.
Buddy.
I'm sick and tired of not having one.
Yeah, winners create winners. Absolutely. So listen, I've got another question here. I've heard you say that if you fight against technology, you will lose. What technology yes. should we be investing in right now?
You should definitely get in understanding around NFTs because it will affect all your businesses. Now, that doesn't mean go buy the collectibles and the art on NFTs, but the what's called the ledger, the blockchain, smart contracts. This is something people need to know. Everybody here should spend 20 hours of reading or watching YouTube videos or listening to Clubhouse. Get educated. Don't get caught up in the gold rush. It's going to be just like 99, 2000. Internet. And what did most people do? They bought internet stocks. They bought them at 60. They went to 200. They thought they were geniuses. And then literally in 2 weeks, they all went to a dollar. Why? Because everything was too frothy on the hype. It wasn't practical. And both were right. It was too frothy, and that's why it should have went to a dollar. But the internet was the biggest technology change of our society in a long time. Same with NFTs. Non-fungible tokens built on the blockchain, often on blockchains like Ethereum, but others, Flow, others, are the biggest shift in our universe in a long, long time. And people will do their mortgages on it. They'll do their book releases on it. Your next book is going to be an NFT that comes with the book. It's coming. I'm telling you it's coming. I know most of the people don't even know what I'm talking about right now. That's the one to not bet against. I'm very bullish on it. I believe in it. But as you can see, I gave you the caveats of where there's going to be some Beanie Babies like activities in the short term. But in the long term, there's going to be some real business opportunities.
Absolutely. So let's talk about social media. Like, I never see anybody post as much as you. It's incredible. You're inspiring to so many people. What's the advice to the business owner who maybe isn't doing any regular posts on social media? What is it that they're missing out on?
Opportunity. It's not like a necessity. You're missing out on opportunity, not necessity. You're just leaving business growth on the table.
And what would, okay. So what would be, you know, let's say two things that each business owner should do with social media tomorrow to optimize this opportunity?
One is very macro, one's very micro. I'll start with micro. Everybody here watching this right now should be posting two original pieces of content on LinkedIn every day. LinkedIn is a gold mine right now with organic reach. You don't even have to pay for the ads. It reaches people. And everybody in this business community can really benefit from it. And it's kind of like Facebook was in 2012. It's a gold mine of organic reach. Organic reach, for everybody's understanding, means when you just post and just people see it. You don't have to pay for it. Some of you here who did well with Facebook pages know exactly what I'm talking about. 7 years ago, you'd post hundreds of thousands. Today, thousands. It's not as good. You have to spend money now to get more. That's not bad that Facebook did that. That's called supply and demand. There's more ads. There's less people consuming. Supply and demand. LinkedIn is still here. Don't do it. Don't start when it's here. Do it right now. That's the micro. The macro is self-awareness. Most people don't social media produce because they haven't figured out what they're best at. Audio, video, or written word. People think everything has to be video. It doesn't. If you're a great writer, write your little heart out. If you want to take a picture to give a little color and then write, then do that. If you have the gift of gab, you should definitely do audio and video because it does go further. But it doesn't mean written word or pictures don't. People have not been playing this self-awareness game of what am I good at enough? And that's the other big part. How do you communicate well?
What's your take on Clubhouse?
I think it's going to end up having the history of Snapchat, which is it's going to be a great standalone thing, but every other social platform will have an audio group feature. And we've already seen it with Twitter Spaces, and I think you're going to see it everywhere. So I think it's got legs because the founders are good. They've raised a lot of money, and they'll keep making a product. But I think they'll be chipped away at, and I think it's going to be just like Snapchat, that there'll be a nice solid thing there, but a lot of people have their versions on it on their platforms.
So VaynerMedia manages some of the biggest brands in the world, right? Now, what is your thought with where marketing is going? Is it going towards voice?
I think it's always been a voice. Radio has always gotten a lot of ad dollars. Podcasting gets a lot of ad dollars. I think yes, obviously, and I appreciate the question because obviously you're close to my content and you know I'm very bullish on voice. I think the big elephant in the room is augmented reality, you know, artificial intelligence, AI voice, Alexa. I think Alexa's lulling us to sleep. Everyone has one, but they're using it for music. We're not really using it yet. But I'm completely convinced before everybody here dies that they'll be ordering food, running their house, looking at their listening to their calendar. Alexa, what's my next meeting? That kind of stuff. I think that's coming in the next decade. And so I do like voice a lot, but I think brand building on social is still an unknown art. Doing brand work there every day, that's where brand is being built because that's where the eyeballs are. I think OTT, Hulu, Roku, Amazon Prime, ads, it's taking away from television is a very big space. I think influencers continues to be a big space. I think NFT projects will emerge as a big space in the next decade.
Totally. Okay, question from social media for you. Sometimes the entrepreneurial journey can be exhausting and draining. How have you dealt with times of burnout, and what would be your advice on those who are in that place right now?
To take time. My ability to not judge myself when I'm mailing it in for a month, a week, a year, a weekend is my greatest superpower as an entrepreneur. I don't judge myself.
See, and it's funny too, right? The perception of you, or I think maybe some of the comments about you, is that you work 365, 7 days a week, right? But I'd actually just recently seen your schedule of your days that you take off, right? And maybe that's a really great insight for those people who think you have to work 24/7, 365.
I work 24/7, 365 in my brain out of enjoyment. The second it's not enjoyment, I watch the Jets. The second it's not enjoyment, I play wiffle ball. The second it's not enjoyment, I play pickup basketball. I work out. I go see my parents. I play with the kid. Like, the reason I work so much is because I like it the way that people like golf and skiing and cooking and running and watching TV and playing video games and eating. I like it more. It's my hobby. But I, like anybody else, I'll give you a great story. Texas banned us from shipping wine. They just picked on us. Our store happens, politics. So we lose this huge market. Nobody else is losing. It feels unfair. I'm 28. I get the final death blow at 1:30 p.m. I literally drive home and go to sleep at 2 p.m. Slept the next morning and was on my way. Only time it's ever happened in my career. It was just such a death blow because I was scared. We lost a lot of revenue and we're a small company and we were being picked on. It all sucked. It's, you know, I love losing, but not when it's a stacked deck and it's not a fair game.
Totally.
So, you know, I to answer everybody, like, don't be a hero. Don't front. I'm working every second because I love it, but I don't work on the weekends. I think about my business sometimes. Sometimes I don't. It's just whatever I feel. I just live. I feel. What, I just live. Wow, who are you doing it for? To act cool to your uncle? To impress your girlfriend or boyfriend? Like, what are we doing here? Love yourself.
Love that, Gary. I got a question here from Stephen Rayner. It says, I'm a grade 12 student who really wants to make money in any way possible. Sure. Way to go, Steven. That's awesome. I currently have a part-time job, but I don't feel that I'm making nearly as much as I should. Recently, I've taken up investing and have mild success with that. However, I really want to start a side hustle, but I can never fully commit to my ideas that I have. How do I fix this and just go for it?
You're fatally flawed. That's why, my friend, your KPI, your key performance indicator, your goal is money. Of course you're not sticking to anything. You're impatient and you want money so fast. Nothing in the history of time takes off right away. So you give up on everything because the only thing you're thinking about is fast money. There's no such thing. And so unless you do criminal activity or shady shit. And so because of that, you're in this hamster wheel of no chance of winning. You've got to realize your goal of making money is your flaw, you know, and,
live your passion, right?
You know, the key is to, you know, live your passion is something I believe in, but I think it gets frothy for people. I'd rather say if you're doing it for money, it will always, always be a struggle emotionally, always.
Absolutely. I've got a question from Dylan, and it's around, you know, he's building a business on his own, has an opportunity to expand and bring on partners, expertise, maybe even venture capital. What's your thought on that? Should somebody consider still doing it on their own and bootstrapping it, or should they be looking at partnering up, venture capital, giving away a piece?
Both work and both don't work. That's a self-awareness game. Do you want to be held accountable? I've never really raised capital because I don't want to answer to anybody, so I'd rather go slower. Some people feel like competition is going to be coming in soon, so the capital will give them a bigger moat. They both work. I have historically not been a guy that loves raising money. I'm not against it. I have raised money. I think there's a million ways to do it, but I think it's a very personal, that's kind of like asking somebody to raise their children. Like, you know, like you got to raise your children your way. They both work. Don't take money because it's cool. Take money because you actually believe you need it.
Totally. From Tim Jablonski, Gary has talked about focus on what you're good at and double down on that. But as entrepreneurs, we're told to sharpen or broaden our skills or even get better at what we need to work on. What's a reasonable balance? 80-20, 60-40?
Sure. No, I'll tell you why the answer was sure. A, I always think about the audience when I talk. So somebody's 80-20 is 60-40. So I'm scared to give an answer. Here's what I will tell you. I believe in being adequate or solid in most things and then figuring out what your 3 to 4 superpowers are and become insane in them. That is, I fully believe that. I think people get caught up on the other stuff. This is why I build family-like atmospheres, because I want to have people around me for a long time that are good at legal, that are good at finance, that are good at project management, that are good at spelling, because I can't spell for shit. But for me, I'm not going to go take a spelling class, or, you know, I'm not going to let my CFO rip me off. But at the same token, I'm not going to spend every second looking at every dollar, you know, and so, or trying to learn every nuance about EBITDA, you know? And so I think that, you know, I'm a big fan of tripling down on your strengths, but you have to be adequate. Nothing can be a fatal flaw, right? It's like a body. You can be everything, but if you don't work out your legs and then your inner thighs, you know, it's going to all fuck you up. And so I'm into adequacy, solidness in a lot of areas. And I think people don't triple, because you understand you only have so much energy. So when you're fixing all that other stuff, you're not taking, like, let's use numbers. If you're an 888 and then you're a 6, 2, 4, 9, 7, you got to get that 2 to a 5. But getting that 5 to a 6 is more effort than your 8 to a 9. And the delta of that 8 to the 9 in sales, in management, in HR, in finance, whatever that is, that's going to make a much bigger impact than all the energy you put on those 5s to become 6s. Because you're never going to be an 8. Because we're all DNA'd out.
So you brought up your CFO, and I wasn't going to talk finances, even though I'm a finance guy. How important is it for you to have somebody reliable that you can trust running the helm of your finances for you so you can do your thing and you can double down on that?
It's oxygen. Can't pay your bills, you're out of business. Game over.
Totally.
You know, I also need a partner who understands me. Alan and I are into about 5 years now, and we're starting to get into a really good cadence where I'm on the offense. I give a big shout out to Mark Yudkin, my COO. He plays a great bridge because he started off as my general counsel and he really knows me, been together 15 years. And, you know, I don't want a CFO to play defense. I can bean count.
Totally.
I need somebody who knows what, like, supports my offense. So imperative.
Totally. I had a text message come through from one of my virtual CFO clients. We do virtual CFO work. And he said to me today, you know, good luck, kick ass on your event. And he goes, just remember that you are the one person that when I said I'm going to get $1 billion in revenue in my business in the next 10 years, you didn't laugh at me. You said, we'll figure out a way. And I think that that's a key partnership with the CFO, that you are being proactive and you're helping accomplish the goals instead of putting up rules and barriers. Is that fair?
100%. Yeah. Unbelievably right. CFOs a lot of times think they run the business, and that is their flaw.
Because they have signing authority.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of empathy for that. but it's just not the truth. And companies that are run by CFOs always limit their upside.
Totally.
Yep. They're playing safe, which is fine. Nobody wants to go out of business. I'm not advocating for careless fake entrepreneurship. I'm advocating for vision-driven offense entrepreneurship.
Totally. You want the green light. You look to the green light to say, can I do this and should I do this or will it cripple me? Because I want
I'm not even looking for the green light. I'm looking for the conversation.
Yeah.
That lets me decide if I want to go green, yellow, or red.
Totally.
And what the CFO should be looking for is the kind of partner like I am, which is, oh, after I heard it, I'm like, fuck that idea.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Guys, you heard it first. Gary V is endorsing having a great CFO partner, though. That is awesome, my friend.
I also am endorsing, and I know that this is this domain, and I absolutely am. I'm also endorsing even more, and this is not a curveball or Raz, having a great HR partner. Human aspects of business are about to explode totally. Even more. Yeah. And I think that people are more often good at having a good CFO partner than having a good HR partner.
Totally agree with that. Yeah.
Or back to your point, I think there's foofy, and I'm a little foofy at times, Buddha'd people that are really good at HR and they're good CEO, but don't have the CFO partner. You got to get that whole thing going right.
You need your team of advisors, right? You need a solid team of advisors because they help you stay on track and inspire you to do your thing.
I think I'm really good. I really do. And I have a lot of capacity, but it is very clear to me with these gray hairs that have emerged that I'm as good as the people that are around me. And when I have the team right around me, then I can fly. And when I don't, it's much more work and I don't get as much done.
Totally. Gary, another question. I know you're writing another book. I know it's going to be a New York Times bestseller because that's what you do. Any insight as to what's in there? I've heard a few snippets of, you know, talking about gratitude, and it's more maybe related to the human side versus the marketing side. Love to hear a little bit.
It's a book around the ingredients needed emotionally to really be a winner in business. And so it is more towards a leadership mindset, kind of like Thank You Economy, right? It's a point of view book, but it's real practical. My publisher, who's on book number 6 with me, said it's by far my best book in her notes yesterday. I don't need outside affirmation. It was nice to hear, but there was the whole time D-Rock was filming me as I was talking it through with Raghav, I'm like, holy shit, this is gonna be my best book. I think it's gonna be a smash hit. I'm very excited about it. I'm always anxious when I ask people for money. So I always say, why will this be worth $20? Why will this be worth $20? I've never felt better about the $20 than this book. It's gonna be really fun.
Well, every year you get scars in business, in learning, you create new wealth of information and sharing. So I can just imagine, you know, the 10th book is gonna be the best book you ever write whenever you get there.
Thank you.
Question for you here. It's talking about open rates on newsletters. How do you recommend increasing this? Do you recommend getting away from newsletters? What's the best way? I know that you were really quick on email marketing, really quick on YouTube and video. What's the next marketing step that we need to take?
SMS. Open rates on text are through the roof, obviously. The way you get better open rates on email is by not making every email a selfish email. Make it a selfless email. Think of your email service as not just a sales funnel. Think of it as a content engine. So if you can add one email a week that is just desperately focused on bringing value to the person who's reading it from a content standpoint, you'll go to a totally different stratosphere with your open rates. You got to throw an off speed pitch. Everyone's throwing a fastball every time on email.
Totally. Yeah. And people are getting sick of it too, right? To a certain extent. Yeah.
Correct.
One more question here from Maria. Gary, how do you work through feelings of jealousy and envy? I have an experience with someone that is doing something in Excel better than me. I got jealous and it made me question my mission. How do I snap back into an abundance mentality?
I love her. Was it her or him, or did you give a name?
Maria.
Maria, I love you so much for having the ability to acknowledge it. Jealousy and envy come from a place of fear. comes from a place of scarcity. Great job by talking about abundance at the end of your question. And it comes from a place of insecurity and lack of self-esteem. The fact that you even know this in question form makes me completely positive you can get there. You're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to put positivity in your ears, whether it's therapy, whether it's surrounding yourself with positive people. When I tell you the greatest gift in my life is my lack of jealousy and envy, it goes back to that not needing affirmation from the outside. It's the same thing of why you want money. It's just the reverse of that. I couldn't, and I mean couldn't, be more passionate about pushing you to keep going down this path, because you're heading in the right direction. The answer to your question is because it doesn't mean anything. Like, someone else's success legitimately has nothing else to do with you.
Gary, there's love coming from you in the chat, my friend. We're so appreciative of you and your time. I know you're a busy guy. I would love to ask you one last question before you need to run. And hopefully that wasn't lunch being overcooked in the oven there, Gary.
No. If it was lunch, I would have never left an important conference like this. I'm waiting on one family thing, and I just had to triple check it wasn't that.
No worries, my friend. So one piece of advice, I would love to know one piece of advice that you would share to an entrepreneurial community to say, how do you get from where you are now to realizing, you know, your true future, the future that you're destined to achieve, the goals and the vision that you want to accomplish in your life?
Repeat that one more time, because I want to really nail that.
Yep. So one piece of advice that we could give the entrepreneurial community that would help them get from where they are today to really realizing their passion, realizing their vision, and what they want to get out of life. What is it, the one piece of advice that we can give them to head out of this session to really nail that?
Put your two index fingers in your ears and close your eyes and live your life that way. I am completely convinced about this at this point in my life. The outside noises and trying to achieve for them, back to the last question, right?
Absolutely.
Is a death blow. Do you know why? You know, when people meet me in real life and really actually get to know me, inevitably, because of where my life has gone, within the first hour or day or week of knowing someone, somebody says to me, just can't believe how humble you are. Right? And it's a couple of reasons they say that. I've amassed some success. I'm also quite hyper on content. I get it, right? But the reason I'm hyper is the same reason that I can deal with negativity. I don't hear the cheering. I don't think I'm the Gary Vee that you intro'd. I really don't. I'm being serious. I really don't. By not hearing the accolades and the cheering, it also allows me not to hear the booing. Almost everybody here is playing for the crowd. I'm playing for myself. What you just asked is the easiest question I've ever been asked. It's a very simple answer. And it's almost impossible to achieve because people don't practice gratitude and insularness on a daily basis. And I do. And it's really worked for me. And I see it in many others. And I see how it's worked for them.
Absolutely. Love that. Guys, share some love for Gary Vee in the chat before he goes. Gary Vee, even though you may not see yourself as that inspiration, that's certainly how I perceive you. I know you never will change, but don't change your social media, man. I love seeing your notes of inspiration and motivation, even your chats, your texts, your SMS that come through. Love getting those to you, my friend. Listen, I am so grateful for you. Thanks for making time for us. Have an awesome day. And guys, a little spirit fingers for Gary Vee to head him out. Awesome. Thank you so much, Gary.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness. I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. This amazing review comes from MEB523 and it reads, "Just do what feels right. Every day I'm getting out of a rut because I'm caring what people think. whether it's family or friends. They don't live my life. I do. This mindset was built by me, but inspired by Gary. Listening to these podcasts every day helps me keep my mind on the right path and reminds me to remain grateful. Thank you again for that amazing review. And to anybody listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.